And across the city at La Trobe University, our PhD this week is also using tiny creatures to work out why you and I get sick or deaf. Sam Manner is using slime molds to investigate your mitochondria, those power packs that keep us alive.
My research involves investigating the mitochondrial genetics of the soil-dwelling amoeba, Dictyostelium discoideum. Like humans, these amoebae contain specialised cellular compartments called mitochondria, which produce the energy we need to survive by breaking down sugars. Mitochondria have their own DNA, which is inherited maternally. This DNA encodes the information required to make the proteins that break down sugar and produce this energy. The process by which proteins are made from DNA is referred to as gene expression. Mitochondrial gene expression requires strict control and regulation, as even minor defects in this process can lead to dysfunction of mitochondria and can cause diseases such as Parkinson's, Leigh syndrome, and even specific forms of inherited blindness. I work with Dictyostelium as it is a good model organism to study mitochondrial gene expression. Compared to human cells, Dictyostelium is easy to grow and genetically manipulate. But the key factor about working with this model is that the molecular biology and the mitochondria of the Dictyostelium cell is very similar to that of humans. Therefore, the information we obtain by studying mitochondrial gene expression can be applied to human mitochondrial biology and disease. My PhD research focuses on characterizing proteins involved in regulating the different steps in mitochondrial gene expression. The first protein I identified was named mitochondrial transcription factor B, which binds to mitochondrial DNA and activates the expression of mitochondrial genes. It was also found to have a role in increasing the production of mitochondrial proteins and, as a consequence, energy production. In humans, mutations in mitochondrial DNA can lead to hyperactivity of the mitochondrial transcription factor B protein and can cause maternally inherited deafness. This deafness is often induced after a course of antibiotics, as the hyperactivity of this protein increases the sensitivity of cells in the ear to these antibiotics. And I have been able to reproduce this in my studies with the Dictyostelium version of this protein. An important step in producing proteins within mitochondria is RNA production. Expression of the mitochondrial DNA first leads to the production of the RNA molecules that act as messengers. These RNA molecules are subjected to a number of modifications before they are used to make mitochondrial protein. One family of proteins involved in mitochondrial RNA modification are PPR proteins. In humans, these proteins have been implicated in a rare form of Leigh syndrome called French-Canadian Leigh syndrome. This neurodegenerative disorder affects the central nervous system due to a loss of motor skills and a disturbance in mitochondrial gene expression, resulting in mitochondrial dysfunction and low-level energy production. People with this condition normally do not survive beyond 2 years of age. Disturbing PPR genes in Dictyostelium resulted in slower growth, which is characteristic of lower energy production and mitochondrial dysfunction, similar to that observed in individuals with French-Canadian Leigh syndrome. During my analysis of PPR genes in Dictyostelium, I also identified a novel group of PPR proteins. These proteins are not only present in Dictyostelium, but also in algae and disease-causing amoebae like Entamoeba, which can cause amoebic dysentery. Interestingly, PPR-TGM genes did not originally belong to these organisms. Instead, a primitive version of these genes was provided to them by an ancient species of chlamydia. By studying how mitochondrial gene expression is regulated in a model organism like Dictyostelium, we can apply this knowledge to humans and begin to understand the molecular biology of diseases like maternally inherited deafness and Leigh syndrome. This can therefore lead to and allow us to test potential treatments for mitochondrial diseases.
Sam, fascinating work. You mentioned deafness before. Is that common?
It will depend on if they're actually exposed to antibiotics or not. So whether or not they have the mutation doesn't always determine whether or not they'll actually get the deafness. Some patients will have the mutation and won't go deaf unless they get treated with antibiotics. Others, on the other hand, can become deaf even without exposure to antibiotics. So it's more complicated than just the one mutation.
Sure. But in a population like Australia's, how many per year would get that kind of deafness?
It's somewhat rare, so it would probably be approximately 1 in 5,000, maybe more.
I see. Well, good luck with your work. It's fascinating stuff.
Thank you.
Sam Manna, and yes, he's often called Manna from Heaven, but I didn't check out by who. And beyond the complexities of those proteins, isn't it fascinating how he can use slime molds, those tiny amoebae in the soil, to study how your cells work or may go wrong? And that influence of antibiotics is crucial.